talking about today is following on from our theme that's been running about the embassy of heaven, the church being an embassy of heaven. The whole matter is described in the Lord's Prayer by Jesus, that we would pray about heaven coming to earth. And so that's like a foreign culture, that's a foreign power, and so on. And the church is the instigator of that, the church is the headline of it, the church goes first. And in that connection, we've been looking for some time now, for some weeks, with various preachers, have been looking through the book of Ephesians. So we are camping in there again today, and we'll be looking at some parts of that. Last week we dealt with a couple of things out of Ephesians 6, one of which was the helmet, the hope of salvation. That helmet word, it means encirclement. The parts of the Bible tell us that. And then the sword, which the Spirit wields, in one of the translations. So we'll be looking at some things related to that whole area of the armour of God. I'm going to read a scripture as we get started. That'll be Ephesians 6 and verse from 10. In this particular version, this is the New Living Translation. It's the whole armour of God that we'll be talking about here. Other ones talk about a fight to the end. That's the message, has that heading in there. And we'll be looking at matters of the heart today, and we'll be looking at the heart of the matter. And I was at a conference on the week that just gave a little quick phrase that I thought, this is actually a theme of what's going on in our church. And I think it's an important thing to say. It was just two words. It was disruptive innovation. We're bringing some new things. I know that a lot of people's lives, they're finding some things kind of unsettled. And that is disruptive, right? And it's bothersome at times, and we don't like it sometimes. Innovation means bringing in something new. Really, this is a theme that God is about frequently throughout church history, bringing in something new, and that disrupts the present. I think disruptive innovation is probably quite a good idea to have in the back of our minds as we go. So here's Ephesians 6 verse 10, a final word. This is the key kaha from last week. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armour so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirit in the heavenly places. Movies change people. People change the world. And I'm not sure whether you notice what's going on in the movies at the moment, but it's actually a lot of the Ephesians people. I mentioned last week the Ephesians people were really into three things. Triple S society it was. They were into sports, so are we. They were into sorcery. If you have a look at what's mostly coming on the movies, haven't you seen so much sorcery movies? Right? What are we into? Well, have a look at what we're doing and watching. And if you believe what they believe about this, movies change people and people change the world. So we'll be developing more and more our culture of sorcery. And the other thing that the Ephesians were into by way of history was this whole Temple of Diana thing. You probably remember last week we looked at Acts 19, where there was an outpouring of the Spirit. And then there was a follow-on in connection with that of people getting rid of all their sorcery, and millions of dollars of stuff was burnt in the public square as they were repenting and turning away from it. And then the other thing for about the last half of Acts 19, describing the Ephesians and their society, is really all about the Temple of Diana. And Diana's a fertility goddess, Artemis, as the Greeks would say. There was a whole lot of sexual activity and worship practices. So it was a pretty popular attendance, and it was widely thought that it was really important to be doing that. So they're not too different from our society. They're a society of sports, sorcery, and sex. A triple S society, isn't it? We even put the triple S names on motor cars, don't we? We also have seen on a few t-shirts, you might see it, the things that really motivate us and drive us is the SMP thing. You see it on t-shirts, sex, money, and power. Yeah. So those are the things that are key to our society. And when you think of the embassy of heaven coming and something different coming, what does it look like? The answer is, it don't look like that. It looks like something else. Yep. And then it begins to come and affect our lives in good ways. Verse 13, therefore. So the therefore is the added little bit that I had as well. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armour. You'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armour of God's righteousness. Interesting, because I had body armour in my notes. It was only when I was reading this Bible I realised that the inspired translators had translated breastplate as body armour. And that's a military term, isn't it? It's also the services, the police wear body armour, particularly for riots. And I've been at a police presentation where they're telling us about that recent police jacket that they wear. And it's actually a stab proof and a few other things. So if you see a policeman in their regular daily clothes in New Zealand right now, they are indeed wearing body armour. Yeah? They're wearing a breastplate in terms of the old battle thing. And we'll just inquire into the breastplate in our conversation as we get going here today. For shoes, put on the piece that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. So this is a theme, if those of you who like to sort of know the preacher has a theme, well, I do. It's not just about disruptive innovation. It's not just about the embassy of heaven that we're part of and the kingdom of heaven coming to earth and earth connecting and reaching to heaven, and that will just be transformational for us. That will be life change stuff for us. But there's an awesome theme in here about being on guard, standing firm. It is kia kaha, of course. And we're talking about breastplate or body armor. And last week we talked about helmet and sword and all of these things. Essentially, last week we were talking about kia kaha, standing strong, standing firm. This week we're thinking about kia ora, that's the good health thing, and hello, and I bid you greetings and welcome. Kia ora is a great Maori term, means all sorts of things. It's very similar in one way to the biblical and Hebrew word shalom. We sometimes think, oh, well, that's what they say when they mean hello and goodbye. Well, that's what kia ora means, hello and goodbye, in sense. But shalom and kia ora also mean good health. It also means prosperity. It means every blessing on you. It means good to see you today. A whole lot of things that is meant in there. And aroha, of course, is an important one. So as we get into this, we'll be thinking about some really important background stuff. And I mentioned last week, what is this whole section about? It's about being strong in the Lord. No, it's about being equipped and victorious. It's about the effective word, it's about divine protection, it's about the ability to stand, it's about advance in prayer. Now I know we all have the ability to stand, and we've been sitting for a while. How about you stand with me and we'll advance in prayer? Yeah? Yeah, Lord, I pray for this awesome company of people. Lord, we've gathered together in the congregation of those who have faith towards you. Lord, we reach out, and Father God, we just pray that right now there will be a transaction of heaven coming to earth. A transaction of earth, that's us reaching to the heavenly realm, Father, and setting aside the activities and the thoughts and all of the stuff that goes on in the society around us to focus in on you and your word and your ways. Father, I pray there will be a download and a delivery for us. Lord, there will be business transactions conducted between heaven and earth here this morning. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please have a seat. In our household, there's been a great quote floating around, and Jill sent it to me two or three times on Facebook, and I've spent sometimes being able to find it and sometimes not being able to find it, as is the case on some of these technologies. It's just right in front of your face, but you can't see the right button. However, I took the old-fashioned method and I wrote it out. And it's Chris Valentine. One of two of us have listened to some of his podcasts in the last month or two, and it's really interesting. This guy's a prophet of the Lord, and I think he says something about me right now, and he says something about my church, and he might be saying something about your church. You see how you go with it. He says, if you are not in a church that fosters a supernatural covenant community, equips you to do the work of the ministry, and leads you into a deeper intimacy with God, you've missed the main point of church. How are we going with that? I'll read that again. That's half the quote. So I think we can fit it in twice this morning. If you are not in a church that fosters a supernatural covenant community, equips you to do the work of the ministry, and leads you into a deeper intimacy with God, you've missed the main point of church. I said main. If you own a car that has a great stereo, comfortable seats, and a loud horn, but does not run, then what's the point of owning the car? Unless, of course, you own a museum. God forbid that I would be part of a church that spends their entire time bragging about their bling and waxing their monuments. So that's the word of a prophet. I think he's alive and well. I think he's running a prophecy school in Russia, did we see there?
Siberia.
Siberia, there you go. They've sent him to Siberia. I guess it's for saying stuff like that. But there's a lot of people in Siberia that want to hear the word of the Lord, and so that's where he's at the moment. So thinking about the breastplate for a moment, there's a quiz question coming up here. Hope it's not too hard. The breastplate really is body armor. Think about this and what gets protected with body armor. And so these are things we're talking about, defensive or protective gear today. So anyone got an answer? What does it guard? Guards your heart. Predominantly guards your heart. And we'll be looking at that today. And it's actually your thoracic area, isn't it? It's your heart and lungs. It's the bit on your rib cage, actually, the breastplate does. If you notice it down further, if you get stuck there, you're probably a goner. And you can't guard that so well because for soldiers, they can't move so well if it's right down. So that's the body armour or the breastplate of righteousness. And we'll talk about righteousness in a minute. The other part is the shield of faith. And the shield, the normal Roman fighting shield was a round one. And we've talked about it being defensive. Yes, you can bash somebody else with a shield. It's a bit like a round rubbish tin lid in the old days. And I remember as a kid, and some of you might have done this too, you could get those old rubbish tin lids and they could be a shield and you could make wooden swords and have sword fights. So it's quite good fun. And then quite often, the swords, if they're wooden, they don't make very loud noise. But if you bash the other person's shield, it was a whole lot of fun and much more noisy. Now, the Romans had that sort of shield. They also had a riot shield. You've probably seen it on the movies. They had one that went almost down to your foot and was about that high. And when they were dealing with a riot, they would have these ones, poke their sword through, and they would just step forward into the crowd, right? So you got pushed back, or you got stuck, or you got out of the way. And this is the Roman style. Some of you are aware that the Roman army to this day is regarded as the most efficient and effective army that's ever been on the face of the earth in all of history. Yeah, so we're thinking a shield, and a shield, of course, is movable. It can go in a lot of directions. So if, what's it for? It's to quench fiery arrows that are coming against us, whether we like it or not. And so the shield and the body armour is protecting. The shield is at rest, is protecting, of course, around here, right? And what's inside there, it can also be up here protecting. So if there's arrows coming out of the sky at you, and there will be sometimes, then you might put your shield up over there, in which case you've got your helmet and the encirclement of your head that we were talking about last time happening as well. So let's just think about this, because we are going to sort of look at one or two other Bible verses, and one of them, of course, is Old Testament, and it's the Proverbs, and it starts off by saying, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life, right? Now, at a practical down to earth level, we know that out of your heart flows what? Yep, and blood. Yeah, life is in the blood. We're going to have a look at some stuff here, because more flows out of your heart than that. And actually, some really interesting stuff flows out of your heart, and it affects every other part of you. Thinking for a moment about righteousness, and sometimes we get tangled up and we think, oh, well, that's a religious word. It's about sort of being devout and holy and somewhere else. And I'm not really very righteous myself, and so on. But just to give a bit of shape what we're talking about, the body armour that we have to put on that will protect our heart and our lungs. That's our air-taking capacity, and our air-taking capacity speaks of the Spirit of the Lord, and Yahweh, which is just the sound of taking a breath in the Hebrew there. It's dealing with equity of character or act, doing the right thing, being the right person. The Amplified talks about it being integrity, moral rectitude, and right standing with God. Faith, the shield, that's the part that can be protecting here, I guess you could have it down there. In the Roman sense, if they were dealing with a riot, they had the shield. It was really right up, and they would actually just push a riot back. And many have also the feeling that the Roman army may well have been the most brutal army in the whole world. They practiced execution on a public basis, and nailing to the cross, and they do say that's probably the most torturous way to die, because it takes a long time and it hurts like crazy while it's happening. Yeah. So the faith then we're talking about, and the faith really is the word of God coming to us. It's actually, faith is a big deal here. And faith is these things. It's persuasion, it's conviction, it's reliance upon Christ, it's constancy. Now the fact is, we operate our life in some sense of persuasiveness or being convicted or some sort of constancy. But the question is whether it's a constancy in the God and the things of God. And we know from the scripture telling us how you get it. And that's been the whole basis of those Technicolor pages of scripture we handed out last week, and some related to last week, some related to the week before. Because if you get it and you hide it in your heart, it causes really for the glory of the Lord, the character and the strength and the vitality of God to hang around you, to get on your life, to get in your life, to get inside you, to get in your bones. So we're thinking about this faith, persuasion, conviction, reliance on Christ, constancy. How do you get it? Well, it's faith. You get it, Romans 10:17 tells us, you get it by hearing the word of God. So last week, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and it's the covering shield of saving faith. So that's a little bit of getting started and getting a background into what we're having a look at. I'll just refer you again to Proverbs 4:20 says this. Listen to my words. Bow down your ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all his flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 23 in the New One, guard your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. That's the blood, the life's in the blood. And I think we're pretty familiar, blood's fairly complicated. As a result of some persuasion from my wife, I visited the doctor recently, don't often do that, and they've filled out a form for me to go and have a blood test. Blood tests are very interesting because they can check for all kinds of things. You know, I looked at the little list and they've written down a whole lot of stuff they're going to check for just by looking at the blood. So sometimes we go forward in all this matter in a real good way, and sometimes we go back, and sometimes we look forward and we have hope in our hearts, and sometimes we have despair, and all of these things sit in our heart. I want to tell you that your heart is more important than you probably have been taught at school. We're taught at school the Greek view of the heart, which is cardia, because that's the heart word. And if you go to the hospital and there's a heart problem, you might go to the cardiologist. That's the specialist doctor who deals with the heart. Where do they get the word from? It's Greek. And you might go to the cardiology department. And if you're studying in that field, to be a scientist or a doctor, you might study cardiology. And that's generally speaking the Greek view of the heart. The Hebrew view of the heart, of course, is more extensive. And God bless modern research. So here's a bit of modern research. Recent research has uncovered the startling evidence that the heart is the major source of conscious intelligence. That the actions of the heart precede all actions of the body and brain, and that there are transmitters operating in the cells of the heart, communicating just as cells in the brain communicating. The communications between the heart and brain are enormous. The heart releases a hormone called ANF, which impacts every major organ in the body and governs the operation of the great central core of the brain that controls all emotions, all learning, memory, the immune system, and the body's capacity to heal itself. So I hope that gives you a better reason to believe the preacher this morning. I want to tell you, the heart's very important, right? Controls your whole life. Yeah? Controls your brain. Controls your immune system. Controls your capability to heal yourself because of this stuff coming. I gave a presentation about a whole lot of heart stuff. The Proverbs again talks about out of the overflow of the heart the mouth speaks. That's the word of Jesus. But it talks about as a person believes in their heart, so are they, right? So the beliefs of our heart is the way we are. Yeah, so it's a big deal. And I remember being down country one time. It was a bunch of Christian school parents, and a couple of them were medical practitioners connected with the local hospital and so on. And they came up for a chat afterwards and introduced themselves. So I said, oh, do you buy this stuff? And they said, yeah, ANF is a very interesting thing. We don't know much about it, but we know it does all kinds of stuff. It's like the mystery thing. Got the stuff operating, coming out of your heart, controls everything else, but nobody quite knows the extent of it all. It's a bit like microbiology in outer space. There's more to be discovered, more to be discovered, more to be discovered. Now, that's a particular guy who was actually a researcher into the intellect, believe it or not, realising that there's more to the intellect than what just happens in the encirclement of your head. It's more than just the helmet, the hope of salvation. It is actually the body armour guarding the heart. That's a big deal in the terms of the scriptures. So really important stuff going down here. And this is an article actually by a church pastor. Probably helped him. So he starts off by saying, my name is Chris Huff and I serve at 12 Stone Church as a director of ministry logistics. An unusual title, describing how I coordinate projects across the various ministry departments. In this position, I oversee several staff and volunteer teams. My most enjoyable challenges involve launching new multi-site campuses and coordinating large compassion projects. We distributed food to 7,000 families at local schools one Saturday over Christmas. So if you're wondering what that bloke does in his ministry, that's him. So ministry is actually my second career, he says, and I'm giving you this background so you know it's not just a theological comment we're about to get here. I spent 13 years with NCR Corporation as an engineering manager. And some of you know NCR is the longest historical computer company around, and they, you probably, when you go get money from the bank, are probably dealing with an NCR machine. Have a look, that's financial terminals in shops. And other companies do it now too, but these guys did it first, and they are innovators. I worked for NCR for a number of years myself in Australia, and that's what caught my attention. Oh, this bloke, I wonder what he's like with being an NCR employee. And those of you who know the history is the NCR did invent the first solid-state computer in 1959. So we are well, it's an old historical company, and we are well taught. And I think I mentioned to Lynette, it was the semi-insane early CEO of NCR who has created a lot of things that are in modern business. For example, he had an employee that he didn't like very much, and the corporation was going ahead, and they were all over the place, and offices going ahead, and new inventions, and he didn't like this fellow, and so they decided they'd dismiss him from his job. But the way they did that is they took his desk into the car park, and they set it on fire. And to this day, we use the term, if you are dismissed from a job, you are fired. Have you ever wondered where it came from? It came from NCR Corporation. Yeah? John H. Patterson, the original man who started that off. So this is some of Chris's career, if you're wondering what it's like. He said, when God intervened, I was climbing the corporate ladder, and my shift to vocational ministry was viewed by many as a radical move. But it was inevitable. We had joined 12 Stone when it was very small, and I was a vocal atheist who experienced an incredible midlife conversion. I joined the church staff as it grew past 800 in the weekend worship. I completed my ordination in 2009 and now blend these two disciplines with great joy. My hobby is sailing. So a picture of a boat there. It's not a catamaran, sorry, but it's a regular sailing boat. I began about 2 years ago by taking lessons and joining a sailing club on Lake Sydney Lanier. When I get out on the lake, the pressures of life seem to melt away and my soul is restored. Sailing is relaxing, but it is definitely not a relaxed activity. The wind is constantly shifting and the sails must be continuously adjusted to maintain the course and heading. I would like to share a couple of sailing terms to illustrate a thought. So I found this really helpful because this is to do with what's going on around for our head. It's got to do with the fiery darts of the wicked. It's got to do with the various winds of the spiritual realm coming against us, getting behind us to push it forward. If the wind changes in a direction that helps me pull closer to my destination, it is called a lift. If the wind changes in a direction that pushes me farther from my destination, it is called a knock. We have both of these, don't we? And I think it's realistic to deal with the matter of the victorious Christian life and persisting in constancy in prayer by also recognising that occasionally we have a knock and occasionally we have a lift, and most of the time we're just sailing along. Isn't that right? And so this is can be a very helpful thing for life. Our churches, as well as you and I in our life, have lifts and knocks. Sometimes we are pleasantly surprised by ministry shifts that bring us closer to our mission. And sometimes we encounter obstacles that push us farther away. With that in mind, sailors don't argue with the wind shifts. They are simply taught how to adjust when they occur. Shouldn't we do the same? Now, there's a whole page here. I won't read it all out, but he deals with leveraging the lifts. And talking about becoming a personal cheerleader, talking about seizing the moment, talking about planning ahead and taking action. So leveraging the lifts with quite a bit of content. When I think about lifts in church, I think of those moments when people respond to our invitations. Whenever someone attends for the first time, steps forward, serve, stands to be saved, or agrees to become baptized, they provide an immediate shift of the entire body of Christ towards the mission of the church.
Yeah.
Yep. Together we experience a surge towards our desired goals. As church leaders, how can we take advantage when the lift blows our way? The other one is conquer the knocks, and he deals with some fights that relate to the budget or money.
Yep.
He deals with an alignment actually in the money, and then he deals with pray, and then pray some more. He says this, when I think about knocks in the church, these are obstacles that we face that take us off course. This applies to the church. This applies to your own life. As some people have a lift, then it can lift a whole lot of others, providing not too many are taking knocks at the same time. So it's a bit of a reality statement here, isn't it, today? They come in limitless varieties, but let me focus on finances, one that's common to all. We hear of tithes and offerings receding in a tough economy, capital campaigns losing their effectiveness, and the increasing demand for expensive technology, goods and services. Since our resources are finite and constrained, how do we advance in the mission and maintain progress towards our goals after being knocked in that area? So, lifts and knocks. Of course, we are heading forward to a bit of a discussion about where's our heart centred, therefore where is our destination, because that's a very important part of this. As we ponder this thing, I went to a conference this week where I wrote 7 or 8 words of notes. There was a really good piece of Māori, Te Reo Māori, that I hadn't heard before, and it encapsulates the idea of thinking about thinking. Now, if you take the scripture, that Proverbs 1, that as a person thinks in their heart, so are they, then it's quite important for us to think about what's the thinking that's going on in our heart. Now, I'm well aware that this is a dangerous subject. Plenty of people don't like thinking at all, let alone thinking about thinking. Yeah, but I think we need to do both. We need to get in touch with ourselves, and we need to do what our counsellors and others talk about as intrapersonal relationship building. That is, whatever is the relationship with ourself, it increases and extends and advances, because however that is going really is the great determinant for everything else. Anyway, I happened to call Pastor Stan because the conference that I was at, they also had like a trade fair there, and they were selling people stuff, and somebody said, would you like to win something? And I said, well, I'm sure I would. And would you fill out your name? And I said, well, is there any money? No, I didn't have to pay any money. So I decided that I would. And anyway, I did win a book that I brought today, and I'm going to read it to you. It's a very interesting book. It's about purpose and direction. You might think I'm fooling around, but I'm not. What I'm after here is the suggestion, coming at it sideways, of course, that we get really focused on the call of our heart, the direction the Lord is taking us. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, and we are heading somewhere. It's really topical. Now, this guy's name I don't know. Kailou, what do you think? C-A-I-L-L-O-U. And here's the book. I remember when they handed it to me. Kailou is a book about when I grow up. And I've often wondered about that myself. What will I do when I grow up? I don't know whether you've wondered it or not, but I can tell you the answer to it is metaphysical. The answer to it is in the spiritual realm. The answer to it is in connection with the embassy of heaven. The answer to it is about that whole thing about praying that heaven comes to earth. So here's Kylo here, and it's a pop-out book, see? Look, there you go. Are we liking it already?
Yeah,
I reckon it's awesome. I'm going to be a fireman and I drive a big red truck. So this is when I grow up. It's a pretty detailed, but the pop-out is the other way around this time. See, they've got variation in this book. Oh, this is a book about highs and lows, you can see. Yeah. I'm going to be a chef and bake Mummy the biggest cake ever. It's when I grow up. See, we're on a path to somewhere, aren't we? And it's possible. I happen to have a personal belief, and I think it's supported by the scripture. We can get a theology sometimes. I have a thought that amongst Christians, plenty never grow up. But we should. So this seems like a bit of a foolish little story, but I hope you can get that I'm not messing around here. Yeah? Here I am, when I grow up. I'm going to be a rock star and play the drums.
Yeah.
That's a real rock star, isn't it, Kate? Yeah? Not just a guitarist or something. Yeah. And in fact, when you look at a rock band, I think the most entertaining thing is to watch the drummer. Plenty of time. There's so much going on there, you know, and there's faces, and it's a very athletic job actually being the drummer there. When I grow up, I'm going to be an astronaut and float in space. And I happen to believe that plenty of Christians need to be much more of a space cadet than we are. We need to float in space. We need to be out there in the spirit much more than we are plenty of the time. We are spirit beings, but we find ourselves pinned to planet Earth, I think, more than we should be. When I grow up, I'm going to be a magician and have real magic wand. Yeah. So he's looking for special powers there. And I think Kylo's imagination pops up out of each page as he imagines what he would like to be when he grows up: an astronaut, a rock star, a fireman, etc. So, do you like my book?
Yeah.
And it was a special presentation at the conference too. There's about 400 people there to see me get presented my book. Oh, so it was awesome. So, we're drawing up to the last few scriptures. I'd like to have a time for ministry today. I think the heart is central, isn't it? We're talking here today about matters of the heart. We're talking here today about that the heart matters. And we need to have a dream in our heart. We really do. And if we ain't got a dream, as the old thing about Jiminy Cricket on the Walt Disney cartoons, if you don't have a dream, how you gonna have a dream come true? Was the thing that Jimmy Cricket used to sing to everybody at the end of the program, all through the 50s and 60s, I think it was. I think it's really important. Again, I was reading some article that flicks past on my download, and it's a health thing. And it was actually on the subject of ways to stay young. Now, it's a very interesting. Isaiah 40 talks about that youth gets renewed and we rise up with wings as eagles. And so ways to stay young was interesting. And the very first thing, they could have done my sermon, and I only found this about Thursday. Number one ways to stay young, straight off the health website: protect your heart. Yep. So it ain't just church that knows about protecting your heart. It ain't just the Bible and so on. And they had a number of things listed under there, starting with that heart disease is the biggest killer of men. Yeah? And then it gives steps, and it deals with the fact that when you're eating a meal, half your plate should be a range of coloured vegetables, because that's good for your heart. Now, I'm married to an artist, as some of you are aware, and we've been encouraged and encouraged the children to have many colours on the plate. And I just thought it was an arty kind of thing. Because I was accused of being raised in a boring Southland family and only eating boiled mutton and sweet and stuff like that. And I could understand that having a bit more colour on the plate was good. And I want to tell you that God is the God of colour, and he's the God of technicolour, and we need a more technicolour in our life. We really do. I think that where things are heading is for there to be a life and a joy and a vigour. The creative and performing arts is supposed to flourish in this place amongst other things. So plenty of colours on our plate. Yeah, and there's another thing, it was just astonishing. I read through this thing and the second main heading was protect your mind and spirit. I think, hang on, this is a secular article. Yeah, what are they talking about, protect your mind and spirit? And they went on to describe a few things and ways to reduce stress and ways to have a bit of fun in your life. Perhaps a bit like Chris Huff, get out on the boat. Most of it's easy going, but every so often you have to get ready to deal with what the wind's going to do all around. And so there was that goal setting thing popped out of there, and it just dovetailed in my small and very straightforward mind so well with goal setting, right? So here's Deuteronomy 6. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, it's not a peripheral topic, is it? This is central to the scriptures. In fact, the centre of Judaism, and Jesus was a Jew, is entirely this thing. Oh, there you are, bingo. It's come up on you. I gave Andrew a copy of these notes. I'm going to say the same thing. You even got the amplified. You shall love the Lord with all your... Yep, mind and heart is the amplifier. And with all your entire being and with all your might. Now, some translations, I think it's the message that says with all your muscle. Wow. Yeah, okay. So it's really this whole central thing. It's an enlivening, and the Bible talks about the word of the Lord being alive in our life, and it would be health, and it would be health to our bones and our sinews and our tissues right through us. Every bit healthy. So you love the Lord with all, Lord your God, with all your mind and heart and with the entire being and with all your might. Now that business about the mind, of course, we've talked a little bit today about the thinking heart, and I think it was the inventor of, was Pascal, and there's a modern computer programming language for probabilities based around his work, and he was a biblical guy, French man, a scientist, father of probability theory, and his comment was about all this, that the heart has reasons that the mind does not even understand. Yeah, so there's an important thing to shift away from this cerebral view of life to the whole of life view of life that the scripture talks about. Now Jesus knew this, of course he would have been raised on it, deals with a whole lot of other things you might do with teaching the word to your children, persuading them, make it lodge in their life, put it on the doorpost of your house, and all kinds of things in that regard in Deuteronomy 6 and Deuteronomy 11. Matthew 22, Jesus picks this up in answer to a religious question. He said, in answer to what's the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Amplified says, passion and prayer and intelligence. And with all your soul, with all your mind. And this is the first and great commandment. So just as a final comment and some scripture on this, Matthew 6:19, words of Jesus. Do not lay up treasures on earth for yourself, but lay up treasure in heaven for yourselves. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our heart follows our treasure, or is it our treasure follows our heart? Whatever it is, they're really tightly linked. Who can be really sure what goes first? Matthew 12:34. Jesus again, from its overflow, that's the heart, from its overflow the mouth speaks. Others can readily know what's in your heart. So can you if you listen to yourself. And a range of actions arise from the heart. Bible 6, we're not doing a full study on this, but Jesus talks about all kinds of actions arising from what's in, and we can see those as well. And of course, we all know that actions speak louder than words. In fact, I think it's just finished with St. Francis of Assisi now, and he's said a whole lot of good things. He was a Christian minister about 700 or 800 years ago. One of the things he said is that preach the gospel by all means, and if necessary, use words. So, in fact, is he alone in saying that? No, the apostle speaks about that. We are living epistles or living letters read of all men. And I think we do well. I don't propose lots of navel gazing and so on, but I think we do well to take a look at ourselves and on a regular basis. Communion service thing. That when you come before the Lord for communion, let's examine ourselves. Right, not under condemnation, we are set free in Jesus. So it's not a navel-gazing activity to beat ourselves up. It's really to say all of these good things happen because of the thing that Jesus has done in saving grace. Well, there we are, there's St. Francis. He would have probably said it in old Italian, though, wouldn't he? He probably wouldn't understand it. He might have said it in Latin. I think it'd be really good if we pray, and Jill mentioned before in around the communion service, in this church we have always offered opportunity for prayer, and if I'm in the house you can come and see me. We've got bottles of oil, I've got a special one here. I just felt earlier in the week I was getting really annoyed with the devil and the fiery darts, and really felt I should go and pray for Stu and anoint him with oil every day. He's put up with that. So we'll do it again in a minute, Stu, if you're up for that. It's good to sort of see the week out, and I think we prevailing prayer and hanging in. But if I can just do this, hanging in for what? I think it's really important for us to get clearer and clearer what it is that we're going to do when we grow up. Yeah, because we are growing up, we're being empowered, we're being equipped for service, we're being moved forward in the things of the Lord. There's a development going on, there's an increase, there's moving towards a maturity. The growing up of Scripture, of course, is moving in terms of Ephesians 4, so that's our book that we've been looking at, into the full stature of the image of Christ. What's Christ? The presence of the Lord, the anointing, the power, right? So we're in the process of developing. I'm sure something is quite different, and we're a part of disruptive innovation. New stuff, but it's shaking some other things up as we go. And there's stuff to be left behind. I think as we move forward, we'll find that we are operating with treasures, old and new. So some of it's been there, some of it's been there for a long time, some of it's historical, it's Bible, King David did it, man after God's own. Yeah, that's what we're talking about today. Did I make it clear we're talking about the heart today? Yeah. Oh, it's good. I didn't want to say just ha, 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 ha all the time. You know, say some other things as well so I get a shape to this. But I reckon it would be really good. Now, there's a few people in the house who are ministers of the gospel here. I think it would be good to pray. And then those who would like prayer, give a wave out. Anybody who knows that now, we don't have prolonged altar calls and things like this. We're not of that nature, but we'll pray for people and make it known, call out, and in the congregation of faith we'll do that. So, Lord, I just pray as we're concluding this talk time here this morning, Lord, that your presence would come down on us and stir us up. Father, I pray for a disturbance, Lord, a ploughing of ground here today, a digging up of stuff, a dragging through of the rakes and the ploughs, such as harvesters do all round our district on a regular basis, many times a year. And Father, I just pray for that right now at the moment. And Lord, I pray also for things that are going on where there's our seeds being sown. Lord, the ground is being settled for new things to be developing, for innovative to arise. Lord, for processes to begin where a seed goes down and dies. And out of that death comes a life that springs up. So, Father, we pray for both of those things in your name. Father, I pray for that stirring up on the one hand and the encouragement and the life source giving from the throne of heaven in Jesus' name. Lord, we pray that heaven will come to earth just as Jesus prayed and taught his disciples to pray. Lord, we pray, Father, for the glory and power of your name to become more and more manifest. I pray that first for my life. And Lord, I pray for us here as a gathering, a community of faith. In Jesus' name, amen.